But let's go to Luke chapter number one. Luke chapter number one. And I want to talk with you a little bit about the Christmas story. We're going to talk about Mary this evening. Hopefully you got a handout there and you're able to fill that in as we go along. Talked about Joseph this morning, and let's pick up and gain some lessons or some things that we can learn from Mary and how God interrupted in her life. And what did this mean, and what were some things that we can learn from that, okay? Well, in Luke chapter 1, beginning in, we'll go down to verse number 26. Verse 26, we'll start there, okay? The Bible says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth." Now, just so you know, this is where Jesus grew up in Nazareth. When I was over there in 1987, Nazareth is considered a very poor community. It's not a community of wealth or prominence or anything like that. Matter of fact, even Scripture says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" So it's not really known for its goodness or greatness or whatever. But anyway, that's what we have here, a city. The city was Nazareth. And the Bible says, "He came to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord's with you. Blessed are you among women.'" So the angel comes in and he says this to her, that you are blessed among women. You're highly favored. That is, God is looking down on you. God is pleased with you, and God is going to bless you. God is going to use you as His instrument to carry out a very, very important part of prophecy, and actually a very important part of the redemption story, or the redeeming mankind, that she was going to be the mother of Jesus. Now, it says in verse number 29, "But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was." Well, that certainly would have been an unusual greeting, wouldn't it? And so as she saw this happen, it troubled her. It did bring some fear to her heart and to her soul at that particular time. And she did wonder, this is kind of an odd greeting. This is kind of an odd way to greet someone, and call them highly favored and blessed of the Lord and so forth. Well, in verse number 30, the Bible goes on and it says, "Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' And then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered, and he said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you, and therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. How indeed, now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God," look at this now, "nothing will be impossible." And then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. What a powerful moment. What a powerful experience this had to be for this young woman. Most believe that Mary was probably 14 or 15 years old. A very young lady. She was betrothed to Joseph. She was engaged. She was going to be married. And as I showed you this morning, they usually, when they became engaged or betrothed to one another, there was a period of a year or so of waiting when they would prepare themselves for marriage and so forth. And during this time, this angel comes to her and announces that she is going to have a child, and the child is going to be conceived in her womb, but he's going to be the very Son of God. That this is going to be a miracle. It is going to be a miraculous birth, that she is going to give birth to this Son of God, to the Son of God, or to the Christ child, or to Emmanuel, or to Jesus, that is God with us. So this is a powerful, powerful experience that Mary is going through. Now I want us to look and pick up and learn some lessons here, if you would. Well, the first thing that I want to see, the first thing that I kind of notice here is that Mary knew God's word. She knew God's word. There was no doubt about it. She was probably illiterate, though. Most people in that particular day and time, unless they were extremely educated, they were illiterate. They didn't know how to read or write. They could maybe sign their name or something like that for legal purposes. But for the most part, they did not know how to read or write. But yet here we see that Mary knew the Word of God. She had heard these promises. She knew these things. She had heard the Word of God, and she kept it. She believed it, and she kept it, the Bible talks about, hidden in her heart. So she had the Word of God, and she had it hidden in her heart. Well, we can ask ourselves, we can apply this to ourselves, How well do we know God's word? If we are challenged about something, do we know God's word well enough to be able to explain? Well enough to be able to give an example? Well enough to explain the truth of God's word to those that may be asked? Are we able to speak the words of truth to other people as God may give us the opportunity to do that? Is our time, this is a very important one, is our time in the Word of God a very important part of our day? Is it a very important part of our day? I would submit to you that I think in a large portion, I have no idea how much or anything like that, but I really don't believe that the majority of believers really make the Word of God a priority in their lives. They read it, they study it if they have time, but they don't make it a priority that they want to hear from God every day, that they want to hear, what does His Word say to me? And I'm talking about all believers. Many do not really study His Word and don't make it a priority. Look at the second thing we can learn here. Mary knew His Word, but also Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, listen to me, church. The Bible teaches us that when we become believers, we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in to dwell inside of us. 1 Corinthians 6 tells us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells inside of us. He lives inside of us, and He directs our paths. He leads and guides us. Now, as believers, we have the Holy Spirit, and He's working in us. Now, part of the problem is not that we need more of the Holy Spirit, but that the Holy Spirit needs more of us. That's the problem. The problem is that we do not need to pray that God would give us a second blessing or that He would pour more of His Spirit into us, but it is really, the prayer needs to be, am I surrendered? Is there any area in my life that I am not yielded to the Holy Spirit, that I am not willing to follow God's direction? That's a huge difference. And Mary, we see that she is filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to come. He is going to implant this baby Jesus in the womb of Mary. And she is filled with the Holy Spirit. There is nothing that we can accomplish for God on our own. There's nothing that we can accomplish for God outside of the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, I can get up and preach and preach a hard message and preach about salvation and so forth. But listen to me, church, it is the power of the Holy Spirit that takes the Word of God and He convicts. And, you know, I can tell moving stories and all things like that, but the truth of the matter is, it is the power of the Holy Spirit taking the Word of God and convicting men's hearts. That's what makes the difference. That's what changes things. And so it is not you and I. We can witness, we can invite, we can do all of those things which we're supposed to, but we ought to do all of those things filled with the Holy Spirit, completely yielded to the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to direct our thoughts, our attention, and our steps, that we are being obedient to the Lord. And so we can say, you know, do we tap into the power of the Holy Spirit as we ought to? Are we yielded to Him as we should be? Do I rely on myself, or do I rely on the strength the Spirit? Do I rely on the strength that we get through in difficult circumstances and in trials? What am I relying on? Am I relying on my strength, my ideas, my thinking, my mindset, or am I relying on the power of the Holy Spirit? That the power of the Holy Spirit can do anything. He can change anything. He can certainly move and work in ways that you and I cannot believe and cannot imagine. The Holy Spirit is most powerful. He is a part of the Trinity. He is God. Well, we must submit our lives to Him. We need to submit our lives to Him working in and through us. Do I let the Holy Spirit work through me? Or do I do things on my own? Look at another thing that we can learn here. Not only was she yielded to the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, but Mary was also, this is a very important, she said yes to God's plan for her life. She said yes to God's plan for her life. Now, she had obedient and a humble heart. She had an obedient and a humble spirit that she was willing to say, Lord, I don't understand this. And I'm sure that she probably imagined the ridicule and the mocking and the scoffing that was going to come her way. And yet she said, okay, Lord. Are we willing to say yes, Lord? Are we willing to say yes, Lord, when the Lord calls us to do something that may be difficult or hard? We need to be faithful, and we need to be obedient servants. We need to be willing to say yes, Lord, to what He calls us to do. Look at another thing. Mary, she meditated. She meditated on all the Lord had done in her life. You know, I think that that is something that they did in the Old Testament. Israel was really, really good about this, and we see it in Deuteronomy where they took the things that God did, and they passed it down to their children. They talked with their children. They shared with their children how God delivered them, all of the things that God did, all of the symbolism that we see in the Old Testament worship, all of those things. They really instilled those things in their children. And sometimes, I don't know if we do that as we ought to. Are we quiet before the Lord? Are we remembering the things that God has done? You know, trials come and a day changes things and difficulties happen. And it's very easy for us to get sidetracked by all of that. And the truth is, are we quiet and remembering what God has done for us in the past? That He's delivered us in the past. That He supplied the need in the past. That He'll take care of this problem. He'll take care of this situation. And so are we quiet before the Lord? Do we ponder what He is doing or what He has done? Do you see what the Bible said there? That she took all of these things that the Holy Spirit or that the angel was telling her, and it says that she pondered them in her heart. She thought about them in her heart. You see, it's not wrong to think about and to meditate and ask questions about God and the things of God and how the things of God work. That's really a good thing. That's a good thing to inquire. That's a good thing to ask questions. But we've got to be very, very careful that we get the answers through the Scriptures. That we get the answers through Scriptures and not through what others say, not through the eyes of an unbeliever. And so a lot of times we may have questions and we go to the wrong source. We go to an unbelieving world, an unbelieving culture. Well, culture says this, but you see, God's Word says this. And so we're to be yielded to His Word and following it. Do we meditate on His Word? Do we meditate on what God has said and what He has done? But Mary, the Bible says, she treasured up all these things and she pondered them in her heart, Luke 2:19. Look at another thing about Mary we can learn. Mary was also a woman of worship. She was a woman of worship. Worshiping the Lord was very, very important to her. I know many times many are made fun of and they're mocked because of their faithfulness to the Lord's house. I remember at a former church, we had a dear lady that had come to know the Lord, and boy, she was really on fire for the Lord, and she had just begun to grow so much. She began to learn Scriptures, and she just really, she was on fire for the Lord. And yet when she would go home, her husband was an unbeliever, her children were grown, but they were unbelievers, and she faced so much mockery and so much criticism and so much just negativity against her as she tried to serve the Lord. And it was very, very difficult for her. But she grew, and she endured, and she was faithful to the Lord. And I believe the Lord grew her and blessed her. Did it all turn around and go rosy and great? No. It was actually very, very difficult. But she gave, Mary gave praise to the Lord, even though the road was going to be very, very difficult. What the angel told her she was going to face, that was going to be a very, very difficult thing. To be an unwed mother, if you would, in this particular way. And culture has changed. But in the day of Mary, that would have been a very difficult, difficult thing. It would have been really looked down upon. That meant she committed adultery. She could have been stoned in those days for that type of thing. And so yet she was yielded to the Holy Spirit and did what the Lord wanted her to do. And she accepted the path that the Lord had given her, even though it was very difficult. Do we praise Him in all of our circumstances? Probably not. A lot of times there are circumstances that we don't really praise Him for. We're not really thankful for. We really would rather not have to go through them. But the Lord, that's how He grows us. That's how He stretches us. Look at another thing. Mary trusted and waited on His timing. She trusted and waited on His timing. That is God's timing. A virgin that was betrothed to be married. The timing wasn't very good. But the timing also was evidence and proof of the virgin birth of Christ. That Christ was God in human form. She had a visitation from an angel. She is, to give birth to the Son of God. Well, the timing of this and all of the things around it are certainly confusing and difficult and hard to imagine or hard to even believe. How do you explain this to Joseph? How do you explain this to your fiancé that you're with child and yet you have not been unfaithful to him or disloyal to him? That's going to be hard to explain. That's going to be hard to sell that. Nobody's heard of such a thing as this. It's prophesied 700 years ago in the book of Isaiah, but no one has ever experienced that. And so Mary really had a difficult road. Mary didn't take matters into her own hand. She trusted the Lord's timing. She trusted what God was doing. She didn't take things into her own hands. And she let the Lord change Joseph's heart. She let God do the work on his heart. You know, isn't that tough? That's hard sometimes. That's hard sometimes to just say, you know, Lord, all I can do is pray. Because we want to change people, don't we? We want to change that wayward child of ours, or we want to change that husband that's an unbeliever, or that wife that is an unbeliever. Or we want to work and we want to change, and yet we got to wait and we got to trust God and allow God to do the work and allow His timing to be carried out. And how often do we feel that we have the need, if you would, to change others? When really, as I said earlier, it's the work of the Holy Spirit that changes people. We can't change them. We can't make them change. It has to be the work of the Holy Spirit. And as difficult and as hard as it is, that's something that we have to learn and accept and receive and understand. We need to learn to trust the Lord and to wait on Him and His timing. Look at another thing here about Mary. Mary was also, she was a chosen instrument of the Lord. She was a chosen instrument of the Lord. God chose Mary. Mary did not go to the Lord and say, hey, could I do this? No. She was a chosen instrument of God. God chose to use her in this particular way. God is choosing, if you're His child, you're a believer, you are chosen by Him for a particular work that He has for you. You are an instrument as a child of God. You are an instrument that the Lord can use. He desires to use you. Now, He may choose to use you in a way that is different than what you might think. He may choose to use you in a different timing, in a different setting, in different circumstances than maybe you or I would like. But if you are a child of God, you are an instrument of God. You are a tool that He desires to use to accomplish His purposes. Are you living? Are you living an eternally focused life so that the Lord can use you? That He'll be able to use you for His work, for His glory. Do you take the time, if you would, to share the gospel with others? Do you share it with other people? Are you willing to be used by Him? Look at one more thing here. Mary was also a faithful servant. She was a faithful servant, and that's difficult. As I was talking with our Sunday school class this morning, we are in a very self-centered culture where everything is about me, me, me. It is a very selfish culture and society. And yet Jesus took on the form of humanity. He laid aside all of the things that heaven had to give Him in order to come in human form and live on this earth and go to the death, even the death of the cross, so that He might be the redemption of our sins, so that He might pay the price for our sins. No one could pay the price for our sins except Jesus. No one could pay that ultimate cost. No one could redeem you from your sins except Jesus. No one could redeem me from my sins except the Son of God, the God-man that is Jesus. And the Bible says that he came as a servant. He said, I came to serve, to seek and to save that which was lost. I came to serve, not to be served. And so Mary was a servant. Well, when everyone had deserted Jesus, guess what? Mary was there. Before Jesus was born, Mary was there, and during the ridicule, the scoffing, the mockery, she was enduring all of those things for the Savior. She followed him to the cross. Most had left. Most had left him and abandoned him at the cross, but Mary was there. Not Mary. Not many were professing believers are ready to follow Jesus to the cross. Most believers are willing to follow Jesus as long as it's good for them, as long as it's easy, as long as no one laughs at them, as long as no one mocks them or makes fun of them, as long as it doesn't cost them any friendships or things like that. We're willing to follow Jesus when it's easy, but when it's difficult, we find it very, very hard to follow him. And so, are you a true follower of Christ? She was a servant. Even in difficult times, are you and I, are we faithful to the Lord? No matter the circumstances, no matter what the circumstances may be, no matter what friends we will lose, no matter what people around us say about us, no matter how hard they laugh at us, no matter how much ridicule we receive, are we willing to be faithful to him? There are many who claim to be followers of Christ. Many. But there are many that are deceived, and they're not true followers of him. Matthew 7:21 tells us, not all who say to me, Lord, Lord, are his children. There are many that profess but do not possess. They do not have Christ as their Lord and Savior. Well, I want to share just a couple of thoughts, some lessons. Those are just general thoughts that I want you to pick up on. But the one thing that I, if you could go away with one thought here that I want you to see, one lesson that I want you to hold on to, if you would, and most of all is this, is being able to say, yes, Lord. Whatever it is that the Lord calls you to do or wherever he wants you to go, that you would be willing to say, yes, Lord. I don't know. I don't understand. Don't know all the details. But Lord, my desire is to follow you. Yes, Lord, I'll do what you want me to. Those two words are very, very powerful. To be able to say, yes, Lord, that is huge. Many we remember to have hearts, if you would, that are submissive to God, that we're willing to say, Lord, yes, to what he has for us, that we're submissive to his will for our lives. God's call will look different to each one of us. God has not called each one of us to the same path, to do the exact same thing. We've all been called to our own individual families, our own individual homes. We've all been called to our own individual places of work. We've been called to our own individual circumstances and situations. And so we've all got a path that we are called to. And how do we respond to that? God may call some of us to say yes to marriage. He may call others to say yes to singleness. It may not be his will or his desire for you to be married. He may call some of us to have many children. God bless you. Or he may call some of you to have few children. He may call some to have no children. He may call some to be adoptive parents, to adopt children who need parents. God may call you to be a missionary that would be overseas in a foreign country. He may call you to be a missionary here, right here in the United States, or do missions, of course, in our own homes or missions in our own neighborhoods. I don't know what his calling is, but he may call some of you to be in a difficult relationships. That would be the path that you're in, that you're struggling with and going through. He may call some to the path of the loss of loved ones. You know, there are some families that it just seems like they experience so much death in their family, so many trials and so many things that happen to them, and they experience so much loss of loved ones. Or he may call you to that of a life of riches, or he may call you to a life of poverty. We often don't get to choose the path that we have. We are called to the path the Lord wants us to follow. He may have a list, you know, we could go on and on with the different things that the Lord may choose. But one thing he has called us to do, and that is that we would be followers of Christ as his children, that we'd be followers of Christ, and that we would be faithful, that we would serve him faithfully, and that we would be able to say, yes, Lord, no matter what the call is, no matter what he wants us to do, would we be willing to surrender to him on a bended knee and say, yes, Lord, I don't understand, Lord, what you're doing. I don't understand these circumstances, but yes, Lord, I understand that I am a child of yours. Yes, Lord, I'm willing to be obedient in whatever the circumstances are that you're calling me to. Yes, Lord, I will be obedient to you. I think those are some powerful things that we can learn from the life of Mary here. With all that she was going through, she ends up in a little later, she sings a song of praise to the Lord, and she said, I'm your servant. Whatever you want to do, you can do that through me. And so as we approach Christmas and we think of Joseph and Mary, we can think of those things that we've talked about today. Joseph was no average Joe. He was a godly man. And he did the right thing. He didn't do the easy thing, but he did the right thing. And Mary, her path was not easy, but she said, yes, Lord. And so may that be the path that we take as we approach Christmas. May we do the right thing, whether it's easy or whether it's hard. May we be people that will say, yes, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will be obedient to that. Would you stand with me, and we'll be dismissed with a prayer. Thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord's house this week. I trust probably Easter and Christmas are some of the best times to invite people to church. It's one of the easier times. People are thinking about the things of the Lord and that. And so I really want to encourage you this week, invite some folks out. Maybe they'd come Sunday morning at 10 o'clock to the Christmas Eve service in the morning worship, or maybe they'd come to the Christmas Eve service later that night at 9. So do go and invite and challenge others and encourage them to come and be a part of our worship next Sunday, okay? All right, let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you for the day that you have given to us. Thank you for each one that has come out and been faithful in your house this evening. And Lord, we do pray that you would help us to be like Joseph and Mary, that, Lord, we would be obedient to you, whether it's easy or not. Help us always to do the right thing. And, Lord, help us to be surrendered to you as Mary was and be able to say yes, Lord, to you, even when the challenge may be hard. And we pray all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.